Hi, it's Douglas Holzmeier, and you're listening to Living the Undeniable Life. It's a radio show that reminds you that you are divine and important, needed and necessary, loved and the beloved, that you are the universe's very best idea, and that this life is an exchange of energy. It's an exchange of gifts. Life is a gift exchange. So you must have great expectations. But they begin with great acceptations, acceptances. What are you willing to accept? Are you willing to step into the spotlight and show us the star that you are? Because enlightenment is the understanding that you are the answer to your prayer. This is an inside job. You've heard it before. You are the boss of your thoughts. So hire the good ones, fire the bad ones. And when you go about your business, set upon the uncharted seas of possibility, then wading in the baby pool of probability. They don't erect statues to those who spent their time in the shallow end of life. Also, a reminder that your dreams are here, right here and now. They haven't run away, so stop chasing them. And dreams aren't meant to be followed. They're meant to be followed through. And it begins with awareness and consciousness, desire, intention and attention, passion, care, action steps. This is about prosperity. It's about abundance. It's about well-being, mental health, thinking the thoughts of heaven, because heaven is at hand and heaven is within. So, well, the air conditioner just kicked in. Or maybe it's the heater. Today it's 45 degrees in Reno, very rare for this time of the year. Just a week or so ago, it was 80 degrees, 45 today. You know, what are you going to do? That's why it's a good day for me to stay inside and do another edition, episode 11 of Living the Undeniable Life. I am a certified life coach. I am a licensed spiritual practitioner with the Centers for Spiritual Living. So I'm not just a person who decided after watching The Secret movie 8 years ago that they were going to speak as an expert or a guru in the area of metaphysics or the law of attraction. There's a whole lot of people out there who don't have a lick of training. All they did was see the movie and said, I can do that and I can be that. Well, that's step one. That's okay. But there's more to it than that. There's additional reading. I have read so many books. I've done my due diligence. And with the Centers for Spiritual Living, they take things to a whole nother level. I took 3 years of courses to get to the point where my consciousness was expanded enough to be licensed. And I mean, I'm talking about test after test after test. I'm talking about boards where you sit in front of people who judge the way you pray or critique the way you pray. And it was quite a process. And that process continues as I have eyes and another goal of being a minister. And that is the next step. But in the meantime, I took all that information that I received and this expanded consciousness and awareness, and I wrote a book 4 years ago, Acceptations and Living the Undeniable Life. And this radio show is an extension of that work and additional information and material and insight that has come to me, sometimes from within me and sometimes from the additional programs that I've taken, so I can be about as well-rounded as possible. So when I share something with you, it's just not something I'm grabbing out of thin air. It's something that has some validity and is measurable, because when you put these principles, these concepts, and these practices into practice, this philosophy into practice, you get results. And I can attest to that today, because I have been on a quest to unfold an opportunity that will enrich my life, be enriching for others, in addition to what I'm doing here with the Undeniable Life Radio Show. And I believe, and I know that is so, and so it is. So just today, I received contact from San Diego, from Ohio, from, what was the other one? There were three different job opportunities that popped up on the radar today, in addition to the half dozen or so that I'm already entertaining and looking into. So the floodgates are opening, and I'm going to have a choice to choose where I want to go next, and which organization I'm going to be able to do that with. And that's great to have choices. So let's create some choices today for you. We're going to talk about gratitude and appreciations. Appreciation, all right? Gratefulness paves the way to blissfulness. Gratitude for this moment improves the next. Hard to do when things don't seem to be going well. But it is an essential part of the manifestation of prosperity and abundance. Because as my dad said, everything is relative. Even people on welfare in this country would be considered kings in other countries. So be grateful for the welfare check, if that's the situation that you're in, or the food stamps or the unemployment. My unemployment ran out a few months ago. I would really like to have some unemployment right now, at least in the term of an unemployment check. See how it's relative? It's all relative. It's all good, and it's all God, and it's all for you. So let's expand our consciousness and our awareness with the idea of gratitude, because life is grateful for your appreciation of it. What you appreciate will appreciate you, and what you depreciate depreciates you. I'm not even sure if that's a word, but I used it. Not that the universe is ever going to look down upon you, but, you know, it is like attracting like. So if you're doing your best Charlie Brown, don't be surprised if there's rocks in the bag. So remember the time someone made a nice comment about you, complimented you. You felt appreciated, and you appreciated the person who delivered it. Pretty simple, huh? So, and I'm not talking about shallow flattery. Flattery creates a tepid vibration at best. Heartfelt gratitude is far more powerful, as it comes from love, through love, as love, and is received by the universe in general and to another's divinity specifically. The best thing you could say about yourself will come in a compliment that you pay another. So appreciate, compliment what is. Bless it, even when it seems the suck. Could be worse. Even if you want a new job, you must be in a state of gratitude for the one you have, or you may lose it before finding the next one. Been there, done that. It is amazing how fast the universe works for those who are skeptical about these metaphysical universal laws of attraction that we're talking about today and that we really touch upon in every show. Think about the times you decided you wanted a new or different job, a boyfriend, a place to live. As soon as that desire is sown with conviction, the wheels begin to turn. It is one thing to announce you are moving on. It is quite another to be shown the door. Been there, done that. As the old song says, be thankful for what you got. Be thankful for what you got. William Devon, I believe that artist was. So how often do we thank God for what is before pulling out the week's want list? Now, I'll give you an example of this. This is the God's honest truth, and I never tell you anything other than the God's honest truth. Last night, I sent an email to a fella I knew who used to work somewhere. Now, I wasn't sure whether they still worked there, because I couldn't find that person associated with that particular radio station. But this particular person used to live in San Diego, and that is where I would like to live. I hear the weather is very nice. Never been there, but I've heard it's very, very nice. So, with the idea in mind that I want to live in San Diego, I found the only email address I could find, and I sent him an email. Now, I immediately got back one of those messages, undeliverable. He was no longer in San Diego. But this morning, I got a call from this guy who I haven't talked to in 6 years. Since 2009? I haven't talked to him in 6 years. Thought of him last night. Sent him an email that was undeliverable. However, because I had in mind, I wanted to speak to him. Because I respected him. The universe, in its infinite wisdom and its infinite ways, found an avenue for that connection. The universe connects the dots. We've just got to know that there are some dots to connect and plant those seeds. That happened. So when I got the call this morning, I said, I thought the email got bounced back. He didn't even know what I was talking about because he was no longer working with that company. He's actually working here in Reno now. Ta-da! Ooh. So there may be an actual opportunity for me to continue to live here in Reno, where my family is and where my son goes to school. That would be kind of nice, even if it is in San Diego, and even if it's 45 degrees today. So, step out from behind your hurt. Stop worrying about what people are thinking about you, because they're not. If you are going to imagine, you know what people are thinking anyway, you might as well imagine they adore you. This isn't a delusion of grandeur. After all, you are God's best idea. It may take the rest of the world a little more time to catch up with what you know now. That's okay. They'll find out when they're ready. You are here to express divinity the best you can. The ripples of your life will be felt for generations to come. There is an old saying that suggests that people rarely remember what you have done, but never forget how you made them feel. That was actually a Maya Angelou quote. So are you making people feel good with sincere appreciation? Now, as I'm going through the final edit of the book 4 years ago, there were little smiley faces in the margins from the editors that I was using to edit the book at the time. Now, this made me feel good. When I was saying something, writing something funny, they would put a little smiley face. If I was relating a touchy-feely story, they would put a little teardrop. So I knew that what I was writing was resonating with my editors. So if it was resonating with my editors, I knew it would resonate with you, the reader. By the way, the book is available just about everywhere. Because God is everywhere, right? Omnipresent. So you can ask for it at your local bookstore. You can order it online at Amazon.com, BalboaPress.com, BarnesandNoble.com. But if you ask for it at your local bookstore, they'll order it and it'll save you the shipping charges. There's also an audio book version of it. You can go to YouAreGodsBestIdea.com and there's a merchandise page and all the links. I'm starting to pop my peas. Got to be careful here. There are links to the digital version, the Kindle version, and you know, all of that stuff. People who attempt to burst other people's bubbles do so because they haven't blown any of their own. What they've done is they've blown their life. And they don't like you flying high. Sometimes that is the truth. So beware of bubble bursters. They may be all around you if they're not supporting your dream and your goals. Doesn't mean that you have to stop loving them. Might want to hang out with them a little bit less. Don't let them drag you down. Your success may make some people nervous. It is a reminder to them that they are not fulfilling their goals and dreams. When I lost a couple of hundred pounds 10 years ago, there were those who were happy and those who were not. I had one male friend who actually told me that he was jealous of me. He was always inviting me to eat at greasy fast food restaurants. He always wanted to take me to Hooters because they have those delicious breaded wings. And I loved those wings. Forget about the girls. I just dug the food. Yeah, when I started going to the Hooters, I started gaining my weight back. Sabotage. You know, we deal with self-sabotage enough. We certainly don't need any help, right? Talk a little bit more about envy and jealousy. In 1999, when recording artist Christina Aguilera went to her senior prom, the DJ played Christina's number one hit, Genie in a Bottle. It cleared the dance floor. Now, it wasn't the song that they didn't like, but the jealousy of her classmates. Now, the lesson here is that whatever you do, do it with divinity, not for vanity. Truth is that most people are so wrapped up in their own drama to concern themselves with yours. Your success is a reminder of their lack of success. Your difficulty is a reminder that something similar might be around the corner for them. How many of your coworkers called you after you were fired from your last job? How many of them defriended you from Facebook? Now, I wrote this in 2011, and I was, you know, referencing an experience I had in 2010. When I lost my last job about, you know, 8-9 months ago, same thing happened. People who I championed and worked with and gave my all to, after I was no longer their boss, they dropped me from Facebook. Didn't surprise me because I'd seen it happen before. But that's how shallow and ugly some people are. Or act. Let me make that differentiation. They're not ugly people. They just behave that way. And a lot of what I share is about upping your game and your behavior. Have a pattern of success. Make success habitual. Because if you don't do that, if you don't make success, the practice of positive thinking, a practice, not just a philosophy or a nice idea, if you're not practicing it at least as often as you brush your teeth, how many times a day do you brush your teeth? Once in the morning at least. Some people do it twice, some people do it three times. I would imagine the people that do it three times have pretty clean teeth. I'm guessing. I'm not into dentistry. But rarely do people go a day without brushing their teeth or, you know, taking a bath or a shower or at least sprucing up a bit. So if you're willing to spend 5 minutes brushing your teeth and 15 minutes taking a shower and 90 minutes eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, wouldn't it make sense to spend some time making appointments, keeping them on the practice of prayer and success? So I'm glad that you've decided to spend some time with this show today. It's Living the Undeniable Life. I'm Douglas Holzmeier, Balboa Press, Hay House author of You Are God's Best Idea, Divine Acceptations, and Living the Undeniable Life. I am a certified life coach and a licensed spiritual practitioner. We'll get to some life coaching tips here in just a bit. So, did you know that the extraordinary works of Emily Dickinson, Vincent van Gogh, Johann Sebastian Bach, John Keats, Ava Cassidy, the singer, Victor Hugo, Franz Kafka, and many others were posthumously discovered and applauded? Here's a real important thing to think about. If you knew that your expressions of good, God, art, would change the world for the better, but only after your passing, would you still create them? Key question. When I do this podcast, I have no idea how many people are going to listen to it. The one that I created yesterday, which I thought was the best of the 10 that I had done, got listened to 3 times. Some of the other ones have been listened to 30, 40 times. But yesterday's show was the best one I had done yet, only heard by 3 people so far. But the neat thing is it's archived and it's up for people to listen to, you know, for a long time. Maybe even after I'm not here. So I create this. You know, my son asked me yesterday, how many people are listening to your podcast? I said, well, there's been over 200 listens so far. Not 200 unique listeners, but over 200 listens in the first few weeks of the program, of the show. Now, that information touched the lives, at least to some degree, of, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70 people that have listened to these so far. And that was in the month of March and April of 2015. These shows may be being listened to in 2020 or 2025. Still relevant information, still touching lives. Maybe by then there will be tens of thousands of people that have listened to these programs. So I'm doing these because it's my desire and my passion for not only myself, the work, but for you too. So the audience for my work will be attracted to the work and will expand in time based upon the need of the people who find this material. It's pretty simple, okay? So I do it with the expectation that the work is good. The audience that it reaches, well, that depends upon the value that I'm offering. I guess in the quality of the work too. But the value of this work will be received or rejected, you know, minute by minute, day by day, week by week, month by month. But it may touch somebody's life in a way that saves them from doing something pretty awful. And then that person may do some extraordinary things. and I may never know about it. Which means it was worth doing, don't you think? So let me ask you the question again, because I've asked this of people when I used to be involved in, you know, the classes that I was taking. I asked one particular person who was always just agitated, and she was always boo-hooing and playing the victim game. You know, I've done this and I've done that, and I should have this and I should have that. And I finally asked her, I go, why do you want to do that? You know, she had the idea of being a teacher and, you know, teaching tarot cards and, you know, doing some metaphysical stuff and whatnot. I go, why do you want to do it? Because we were kind of on the same journey, but she was more into new age stuff and I'm into new thought stuff. The idea is old beliefs and thoughts have brought you to where you are, good, bad, or indifferent. It will take a new thought, belief, and value system to take you to a higher place or a better place or a different place. She answered the question, I want to be famous. I want to be rich and famous. That was her goal, to be rich and famous. And I told her, I said, do you think Wayne Dyer does this stuff to be rich and famous? Yes, he's rich and famous. But is it the chicken or the egg? What comes first? It's the work. It's the consciousness. It's the value that comes first. Then the riches come. And the celebrity. Sometimes these people don't want the celebrity. They're uncomfortable with the celebrity. So if you knew that your expressions of God would change the world only after your passing, would you still create them? If you can't answer that question in the affirmative, then you ought to be doing something else. Really? Do something else. Because if you're doing it just to get rich quick, and if you're doing it just to have people laud you with you know, kisses and, you know, accolades, then you're in it for the wrong reasons. Those things are nice, but that's extra. That's bonus stuff. And ask some of these celebrities who are being chased down, Hollywood and Vine, Sunset Boulevard, by the paparazzi, if they wouldn't mind trading back some of that celebrity for some peace and quiet. Do what you do because you love to do it, and know that others will share in your divinity in divine time. Seek first the kingdom. And the kingdom is at hand, and it's within. I've always held a special place in my heart for those who made their way past my shyness and social clumsiness to offer me encouragement, support, and gratitude. They showed me how to love and appreciate. Initiating appreciation is a special gift to share, and it will always come back to you multiplied. Initiate some appreciation today. My life in radio has allowed me to meet the creators of some of the best music ever produced. The reoccurring theme that I've discovered is the bigger the star, the more gracious they are. Does that surprise you? No, it shouldn't. As you know, with the law of attraction, what you appreciate appreciates. What you don't appreciate depreciates. The artists who have been the most successful have been the ones who appreciated their fans as much as their fans adored them. So when I got to meet Bob Seger in the mid-1990s, he had arranged a sizable meet and greet after the show, complete with food, drinks, autographs, and photos. He conversed with those in attendance and hung around for the whole thing, which is rare, my friends. They don't usually do that. They usually come and go. Now, as an added bonus was meeting Mark Chatfield, a touring member of the Silver Bullet Band who went to my high school, Grove City High School, near Columbus, Ohio. It was a great, great time. Now, I just recently read where Bob, now this was 4 years ago, I understand. I had read that where Bob had invited a newspaper reviewer who had been especially critical of his previous Steel City concert, Pittsburgh, backstage for a chat and a hearty handshake. Now, Bob Seger has been sold short by critics since the 1960s. He wasn't elected to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame until 2004. Bob Seger believed in his dream while running against the wind of critics' slings and arrows, still standing high above it all like a rock. So in other words, Bob Seger shook the hand of the guy who crucified him the previous time he'd performed in Pittsburgh. Could you do that? Could you shake the hand and greet your greatest or worst critic? Could you do that? Most of us couldn't or wouldn't. In the early 1990s, Hall & Oates performed at the Capitol Music Hall in Wheeling, West Virginia, where I was working at the time. The show was fantastic. The audience loved every minute of it. Now, following the show, Daryl and John came out to meet us and our contest winners. Still sweating and with eyes wide open, they opined, "Wow! The audience was incredible. We had a great time performing tonight." They gladly gave their time, chatted, posed for pictures, signed autographs. They love their fans, and their fans love them. Hall & Oates, just recently inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I got to interview John Oates about that a year ago, almost exactly a year ago. In fact, it was exactly a year ago. And what John Oates said to me, he goes, "Doug, you know, the funny thing is, this induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is nice, but most people thought we were already in it." He says, "I can't count the number of times we were introduced at concerts as Rock and Roll Hall, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, Hall & Oates, for years before it was actually true." By the way, 2 points. That's how affirmative prayer works. You affirm in the present what's coming or what you want coming. So if you're not well, you say, "I am well. I am that I am." If you want to affirm abundance and you're not, you affirm in the present, "I am employed. I am abundantly employed. I am employed doing what I love, and I'm being compensated generously for the value that I offer." That's affirmative prayer. We haven't done a show on affirmative prayer yet. I think we'll do that next time we get together. I'll give you the step-by-step process. But Hall & Oates, and with any Hall of Fame or any recognition, you do the work first, knowing it's good work. You offer it up to the universe. And then you get honored for that in a multitude of ways. It may be with critical acclaim. It may be with a paycheck. It may be with royalties and residuals. It may be with a such and such of the year award that you have to wait a year to get. Or it may be with a Hall of Fame induction, which may take 30, 40, 50 years after what you did that you're being honored for. You know what I'm saying? One of my friends is Rob Parisi of Wild Cherry, who wrote the song "Play That Funky Music." Now, it was the only significant hit that band had. They had a lot of other good songs, and they had some other regional hits like "Baby Don't You Know," "Hold On," and 1-2-3 "Kind of Love," which is very big in the Carolinas. Those who love beach music know 1-2-3 "Kind of Love," but they recorded 4 albums. The second, third, and fourth did not sell anywhere near like the multi-million platinum-selling debut album, which featured "Play That Funky Music." And I tell that story in the book. Now, when I met Rob Parisi in the late 1980s, he was essentially broke, in debt up to his eyeballs. and he was working for me part-time on the weekends. Think about that. Conceptualize this. The guy that gave us Play That Funky Music was working for $8 an hour. Heck, it may have been $6 an hour back then. I think the minimum wage was probably $5 an hour. It may have been $4 an hour. I have to go back and look. What was the federal minimum wage in 1989? I think it was in the neighborhood of $5 or less. This guy who had made hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, in the 1970s, of course, it was all gone by this time, and he owed a lot of back taxes. He was working at a small town radio station on the weekends. Why? Well, because he loved radio and he loved music. And it was a way for him to perform because he'd kind of set the whole music business aside because it had burned him so bad. Well, funny thing happened on the way to Skid Row. Vanilla Ice covered Play That Funky Music on the album that had Ice Ice Baby. That album sold like 10 to 15 million copies. It garnered Rob and the other people, you know, associated with the writing of Play That Funky Music, $500,000. All throughout the 90s and to this day. In fact, I think Play That Funky Music was just featured on The Big Bang Theory last week. That money keeps residually making my friend rich. Now, what he did was he wrote that song in 1975. It makes him well off to this day. But there was a period in between where it wasn't making a lot of money because of the backlash with the whole disco scene. So what's the moral of that story? Make whatever you make because you have a passion for it. Create whatever you create because you want to do it and you think somebody might like it somewhere. That you think somebody might benefit, get some value out of your creation. If it makes you rich and a celebrity, yay. Fantastic and great. But if it doesn't, or if it doesn't for a while, still remember that these are seeds that you have sown that may ultimately pay off handsomely. If nothing else, you have created a positive impression. I try to make as many impressions as I can. I try to make them as positive as I can. In that moment, not necessarily does somebody say, hey, I really like you. Here's $10,000. Hasn't happened yet. But those seeds that I've sown over my entire life keep the avenues open. And from time to time, I do hear from people from a long time ago who said, I remember when you told me not to give up. That really means something to me. I'd like to buy your book. I know this stuff is not necessarily all that deep, but does it have to be? I mean, does your mind have to go? I think this stuff is really kind of simple. Life is a gift exchange. I got some more stories to share from the music business. In 1992, singer Celine Dion opened for Michael Bolton in Pittsburgh. Her career was just beginning to take off at that time. My wife and I were in the, we were the only ones who wanted to see her backstage. Now, to put this into context, you have your main act and then you have your opening act. Usually the opening act is a so-called up-and-comer. That's how the record companies kind of do it. Now, Michael Bolton was with Columbia Records. Celine Dion was with, I think, Epic Records. And Epic was a subsidiary of Columbia/Sony. So they would match up-and-coming artists with Michael Bolton, who was hotter than a firecracker at that time. All right. So my wife and I were the only ones who even wanted to see Celine Dion afterwards. So she comes out. I think this was either before the set or after the set. I think it was after the set because there's a like an intermission. So she performs. We go backstage and meet her. We're the only ones. Now, this particular venue was near Pittsburgh, so there could have been other program directors from Pittsburgh, from Wheeling, from Steubenville, from Johnstown, Erie, Columbus, Canton, Akron, Morgantown. We were the only ones who said, we want to see Celine Dion. We think she's kind of cool. So there's a picture of me hugging Celine Dion. That picture, I do believe, is still up at my website, yourgodsbestidea.com. Go to the picture page, Photographs and Memories, and I'm almost certain that picture is still there. It's certainly in the book. So we showed appreciation to Celine Dion. And she was so happy to meet us. She was so warm. Beautiful woman. Lovely. She placed her cheek next to mine as we posed for a photo. I could feel not only the warmth of her face, but the glow of her divine spirit. Talent aside, it has been no mystery to me why Celine Dion is a superstar. It's because of her graciousness and her gratefulness. Speaking of icons, no one has been more consistently successful as Elton John over the past 45 years. In October of 2001, I went to see him in Columbus and got to take my son backstage. Although I had seen Elton perform many times, I'd never had the opportunity to share the experience with my son and meet my favorite artist of all time. I was getting to meet Elton John with my son. Now, I met Nigel Olsen, the drummer, and Davey Johnstone first, the lead guitarist, and then they brought Elton in. Sir Elton graciously greeted each of us. There was quite a contingent. Just me and my wife to see Celine Dion in 1992. In 2001 to see Elton John, there were 50 people. He met each and every person. He shook their hands and took their photograph. He has that gregarious grin. So when he came up to me and my son Danny, he bowed slightly and shook Daniel's hand. I think Danny was 9 at the time. Danny enthusiastically said, "You beat Phil Collins." Elton said, "I did what to Phil Collins?" Of course, Danny's favorite movies were The Lion King and Tarzan. Elton composed the music for The Lion King, Phil Collins for Tarzan. There was a chorus of laughter and a Dickens-like pat on the head. Oh, yes. In case you are wondering, my son is named after the Elton John Bernie Taupin song, Daniel. You got to treat people right. Even the superstars are superstars, long-term superstars, because they do it right. This is the reason these great artists are beloved. You declare your appreciation for life with every breath you take. Breathe deeply. The music business is not for the faint of heart. It is brutal. If you wonder why artists tend to come and go so quickly, it is because record companies are always looking for the next big thing. There's almost zero loyalty. Radio stations are almost as bad. In America, there's this insatiable appetite to kill whatever the critics deem unhip. If the definition of hip is Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd, anything short of them is comparatively less so, at least in the eyes of the critics. So I often just shake my head at the unabashed praise rock critics have had for the British exports while doing their best to take the knees out from under the American stars. The irony is that it was the appreciation of Elvis, Roy Orbison, Buddy Holly, Chuck Berry, and Little Richard by the Beatles, as well as the appreciation for American blues music from Muddy Waters, Robert Johnson, Lead Belly, and Howlin' Wolf that influenced the Rolling Stones, Eric Clapton, and the aforementioned Led Zeppelin that paved the way for the British music invasion in the first place. love and appreciation for divine expression lead to additional expressions of divinity. So my love and appreciation for the expressions of Ernest Holmes, Thomas Troward, Louise Hay, Michael Bernard Beckwith, and of course, the New Testament message of Jesus the Christ has led me to create these expressions of my inherent divinity. So what do you appreciate? How might you express your appreciation? You can share with us what you appreciate when you accept your divinity and contribute to and live the undeniable life. You must elevate your perception to appreciate your station. Okay? Got it? Good. I wonder if I've got time to share this. Let's share this affections, because appreciation and affections are cousins, concepts. You're listening to the Undeniable Life Radio Show. I am the author of You Are God's Best Idea, Divine Acceptations and Living the Undeniable Life from Hay House and Balboa Press. I am a motivational speaker. I do seminars and workshops. I am a life coach and a spiritual practitioner. You can contact me at yourgodsbestidea.com. I can help you release weight. I can help remind you that you are perfect, whole, and complete. I can do affirmative prayer with you to help manifest in the quickest way the truth that is you. With affirmative prayer, we cut to the chase. We basically replace an old thought with a new thought. I mean, sometimes it can be instantaneous. Healing can be instantaneous. The mechanism, the opening to the truth of who you are can rush in all that prosperity and abundance that's been at your door waiting for you to open it. And nobody else can do that. You can't get that through years of therapy or psychoanalyzing. You can't even do it with a life coach, although I am a certified life coach. Affirmative prayer, which is what I'm licensed to do, I can help you release the block, the old belief and thought, and in some cases, instantly bring you what it is that you desire. In some cases. In all cases, what we do is we eliminate the block. If you're with me in the prayer. And, of course, there is a process to, I mean, if you're trying to manifest, $10 million, we can get that ball rolling by first getting the door open and you saying, yes, I invite you in. Or if you flip that script, if it's coming from within, we say, yes, I am allowing you to work with me, through me, and as me. Abundance, prosperity, health, or whatever it is. So, and I can do those both as a life coach if you want that. If you want me to work with you as a traditional life coach, that's a certain kind of process that takes time. If you want to work with me as a spiritual licensed practitioner, I mean, we can go like that. Combining the two is awesome, because doing this, that is the planting of the seed with the new thought. That happens immediately. But then there are action steps. And those action steps really are more a part of what I do as a life coach. So again, you can contact me, Doug, at yourgodsbestidea.com to find out more. All right, divine affections. We'll do this quickly. Every beat of your heart is the tapping of the infinite, reminding you where love resides. Great effectuations begin with great affections. What is an effectuation? Well, it's an effect. There are effects and affects. An effectuation is an accomplishment. Effectuate means to bring about. If you want to bring about a great accomplishment, It must begin with affection. Your dreams and goals won't come through if you have little affection for the process or the result in mind. So if your idea is, I don't want to do prayer, I don't want a life coach, I don't want to exercise to release the weight, well, there's got to be some appreciation and affection for it. Certainly the result. If you love the idea of the result, understand that there's a process in this. Got to do something. So when I do my walking, I'll walk up to 10 miles at a time. If I did that drudgingly, I don't think I would have much success. In fact, I don't think I could get around, you know, even 2 or 3 miles if I was doing it, you know, grudgingly. Your dreams and goals won't come through if you have little affection for the process or result in mind. If you desire a compass, start with your heart. Open your opportunities. Answer your heart. Your heart is a living center in which the love of God flows. Open your heart. Let God express through you. Let the universe express through you. Let prosperity work its way through you, with you, and as you. Every day you can simply choose to be the love you are. Leave the criticisms and detractions for others or to others. You can recognize when a situation is not optimum through critical analysis, which is usually uneasiness in your gut. However, the best thing you can do is to add love to the eternal now, and then love will always be present. In other words, you can realize there is a snake in your boot without deciding the answer to the dilemma is to get angry and stomp. All you end up with is a dead snake and maybe a dead you. Sometimes my heart breaks from the love it cannot contain. You ever have that experience when you're just so immersed and resonating and vibrating bliss that you tear up? Fill your mind and heart with thoughts of love, affection, peace, and joy for the times you can't think straight. It's called being prayed up. As a child of God, you are already in spirit, perfect, whole, and complete. But reading this book, listening to this show, and hundreds of other shows and books with sage advice won't improve the circumstance of your life until you embody and practice the ideas that are being offered. You got to put this stuff into practice. The more you immerse yourself in the idea and habit, the habitude of your divinity, the clearer the path to the divine and undeniable life. I was mentioning earlier about brushing your teeth, combing your hair, washing your face, eating, sleeping. We do these habitually to survive and thrive. Why wouldn't you have a spiritual practice, a practice with success in mind every day? Affirm who and what you are and even what you want to manifest. I am divine. Say it. I am. I am love. I am. Say it. I am abundant. I am. Say it. I am healthy. I am. Say it. I am peace. I am. Say it. I am trustworthy. I am. Believe it. I am my perfect weight. I am. In the times when something has happened that could incite an angry or frustrated feeling, I pause and say to myself, I am the love of God. I am the peace of God. I am the face of God. I am that I am. I consciously embody the awareness and feeling of peace and love. Our brains operate in a computer-like way. There is nothing wrong with consciously firing neurons in order to create new neural pathways of love and affection for yourself. If biologically our bodies are prone to go into a default mode in times of confusion, positively programming yourself toward a positive default, not a bad idea. Humility is at the heart of the hero. When people say they see or know who you are, it is the heart they see, your divinity. It is your heart, your affection we experience. Anybody can be a hero for a day. It is the humility in the heart of our heroes or sheroes that sustain our love and admiration for and of historic figures like Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, present-day icons like Nelson Mandela, who passed away since I wrote this book, Oprah Winfrey, and Louise Hay, for example. Humility creates stability. Oh, gosh, this is so important. Humility creates stability. The trip of the humble is but a stumble, whereas the fall of the arrogant is akin to a belly flap. There will always be helping hands and hearts to support those who uphold the one command Jesus brought to us. Love God and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said in no uncertain terms, do this and you shall live. There are no caveats. Love God and your neighbor as yourself and you will live the undeniable life. By loving yourself and your neighbor, you have loved God. God is love. No one who has loved has been lost. That includes everybody. Nobody's lost. The earliest human beings did not have Bible references or any spoken or written language other than the language of love. They embraced. So I've said before, if I can't tell you everything that I know and believe about spirituality in a smile, a handshake or embrace, then I've got a synthetic supposition. It's just all window dressing. I just laugh my ass off when some of these folks are trying to pitch me their religion. And it involves all of this crazy ass space stuff. Not to say that there aren't aliens. Of course, they're only aliens because they come from somewhere else. Not to say, I mean, that there aren't other universes and other worlds. But if that's a major part of what they're trying to pitch to you, I'm not interested. I want to know you love yourself. I want to know you love me. I want to know you love the thing that we are that is back of me and you. All the rest is other stuff. And I want to spell stuff differently, if you know what I mean. There will always be, let me see where it was. Oh, yeah, so embrace. Okay, do I have time for the big finish? I don't. I'm going to save the really nice story for another day. But just leave you with this. Live your affections, not your resentments. Live your affections, not your resentments. Live your affections, not your resentments. Because after all, your life will not be measured by treasure acquired, but by the love you have inspired. I am Douglas Holzmeier, author of You Are God's Best Idea, Divine Acceptations, and Living the Undeniable Life. When I say author, basically most of this was written through me by the inner divinity part of me, which is God itself. Because as my mom used to say, I'm not that smart. But when I tap into infinite intelligence, I can come up with a nice creative way of getting a point across. That's why I'm known as the Epigram Man on Twitter at twitter.com/DougShares. And that's what I do. I share what it is I believe, what it is I know, and I put the philosophy into practice. It gives me measurable results, which means it is so, and so it is. Amen and amen. We're going to leave the show today with a song from one of my favorite New Thought singer-songwriters, Robin Hackett. This is The Moment.
This is the hour, time to put everything on the line. And I am the answer, I am the reason, I'm a believer, it's all inside. This is your hour, time to put everything.